Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we take you through slowly, methodically, and try to explain God's Word in plain and understand modern language and lingo. We have a lot of fun. It's okay to have fun with the Word of God. He is the God of love and joy. Never meant for it to be absolutely solemn and stately. David danced before the Lord. You know, when your heart's filled with joy, enjoy His Word. Some of the funnest times I've ever had in my life reading this book. Believe it or not, listen to our radio show and you will see. Jonathan and I have a good time in here. You listen on WVFFradio.com. You can catch up on the former episodes, and I dare you to go to episode one. There'll be a lot of things in episode one pastor didn't tell you, but they're very essential to understanding the world and the rest of this Bible, because the fact that this is not the first time man's been here. Same earth, not the first time man's been here. And I tell you what, evidence of that is popping up every day in archaeology. Jeremiah says God flooded it once before in His wrath because man had become so bad. And He put the sun out that time. And then eons passed. And we turn to Genesis and it says, let there be light, for at least the second time. Two accounts of creation. 6 days God created man and woman, told them to replenish the earth. What does that one word mean? Replenish. Obviously, it had to have been some here before, right? Yes, that's exactly what it means. I dare you. Listen to episode one on WVFFradio.com. Well, to make a long story short, God found His man Abraham, a man of the Adamic line who followed after Him. Didn't even quite know who he was at the time, but knew he was the one, true God. And followed Him with all his heart. And God said, I make a covenant with you. Follow Me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And we'll be good. That's all you got to do. Well, that went well for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then they shuffled off to Egypt. Spent 400 years so God could deal with the Canaanites, whom He also had agreements with and covenants with. But they were on the losing side. They started backsliding and getting far from. He said, I got to put you in Egypt for a while until their transgressions have become so bad that I can feel good in my heart to remove them. God never said, these are my only people. These are my chosen people. The ones I choose to micromanage and to bring along just the way I want them to be. But the other ones were never excluded. They found God with their heart. They were part of the family. And He even told the Hebrews, anyone wants to come in and adopt your ways and adopt Me, they're more than welcome. So the sons of the patriarchs proved on their way out of Egypt they could not follow the law. They could not follow God's first covenant, which was not the law. Follow Me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So He laid the law on them, which bound them spiritually and physically. There's nothing you can do with your hands, Christian, to keep you holy or to make yourself holy. It's a futile effort. The law will prove that to you. Oh, I keep the law. No, you don't. You may sit at your house on Sunday and not do anything laborious, but you know you're not even allowed to take over 1,000 steps on the Sabbath. Are you keeping the law? Or did you drive to Dollar General? I mean, that's not really stepping, is it, Jonathan?
No, but...
but it would be equivalent to saddling the ass and riding to the mill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And to top it off, Sunday's not even the Sabbath. You're already sinning. Get off it. You can't do it. Jesus Christ is the only one that can do it. He came to fulfill it. And He proved also that the heart, following God with all your heart, overrides the law. Because He worked on the Sabbath. Oh, yes, Jesus did work on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees called him out for it. Wanted him killed for it. The overlying theme of the Old Testament, believe it or not, no, you've never heard this in church, is the heart, following after God. It's listed in here hundreds of times. If they would only follow me with all their heart. It is on the outside looking in, following God with all of your heart. Seemed like a monumental task. So many beautiful and pleasurable things out in this world around you. No, I'm going to have to put on holy robes and just burn incense and pray all day to follow God with all my heart. No, it's not like that. God doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for your mind. Because the mind in this body, the Bible says, is contrary to the will of God. And he says, I place the spirit inside the heart to take control of the mind and guide this flesh. So if he has your mind, that means the spirit's in control. You think about God during the day? You're getting ready to do something, you think about God, something goes well for you, do you thank God? Whisper it under your breath. Have a conversation with him all day long. Don't wait till that a minute, 30 seconds that you give him in the evening on your knees. That can become a process. You know? Talk to your Father whenever you feel the need. Or whenever you just thank you, Lord. You know? I just took I'm building a garage out here, and there was one of the brace boards was still up. And I've been looking at it all week. I'm thinking, man, I have to get a crowbar. That's going to take a lot. It goes up 16 feet, so I'm going to have to get a ladder. Man, I sunk the hammer claw into that and popped the bottom one, and the whole rest of it popped off. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Been for the minor blessings in your life.
Mm-hmm. Been in those situations.
All the little things. You know, I remember riding down Rivers Avenue. I don't want to say safe driver. I don't have wrecks, but I don't pay attention all the time. But I don't have wrecks. God help me. And I cut this guy off in traffic. And he lets me know by immediately giving me the horn. And I knew I cut him off. Oh, I felt bad about it. And he's behind me now, making these worldly hand gestures in the windshield.
You're number one.
Oh, I was being voted number one all the way down Rivers Avenue. And I mean, I like to be number one, but not in that fashion.
Right.
And man, I this was a time in my life I was walking so close to God. We come up to a stop sign, and I see him lean out his window, and he starts cursing at me. And I open the door, and I said, I'm sorry, sir. God bless you. And he sat back in his seat and smiled. You know, the Spirit of God has a taming ability over anyone and anything, any situation you have in your life. But you got to follow him with all your heart. The children of Israel couldn't, so he laid the law on them like a good father.
A kind word turns away the wrath.
That's right? Correct. A kind word turns away the wrath. Good job, Jonathan. And he knew that one day he would bring one line, one Hebrew line, and keep it pure and bring the Messiah to save the world from itself and the law. Because under the law you have death and separation from God. He came to restore the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. God says, follow me with all your heart, Abraham, and circumcise your children. Jesus says, follow me with all your heart, be baptized. He'd even became easier. None of that cutting stuff, you know? So, we are into Kings. Children of Israel disobeyed. They didn't clean the land like they were told of people. God said, you'll be cursed if you don't. And they said, well, we'd rather have servants. The men and their egos. Yeah. So why do we got to get rid of all these guys, Jonathan? I mean, they could be shoveling the stables out.
Yeah.
They could be combing the camels down even. Yeah, I know what God said, but he also said, don't procreate with them. So we'll just keep them as slaves. We won't procreate with them. Yeah, well, I'm sorry that stable girl started looking pretty good a few years down the road. And they began to procreate with the ones God said, do not leave here. And he said, don't leave them here for a reason, because they were the seed of the serpent. And you got to go back to episode one to find out who those people are. There were two babies in the womb of Eve, and they had two fathers. You ever wonder where the Bible says when he's handing out punishments in the garden to the woman? There'll be enmity between your seed and hers. Where in the world did the serpent get some seed from? You go down to the mill, pick up a bag? No. That was more than an apple. It was seduction. Why do you think the Bible says when after Cain killed Abel, and Adam had another son, and this one was in his likeness and actually looked like him, contrary to Cain, you know? And every time I talk about this, I'm picturing, you know, Adam's out there. He's this, you know, he the Hebrew line, you know, black hair, dark hair, kind of complex, you know, got a olive skin. I'm just guessing at this. There's no biblical science behind this. And then Cain pops out with blonde hair, pale skin, and blue eyes. But it's the first baby born. How would they know any different?
You ever watch the show My Name is Earl? It's a great show.
So we are into the kings because they disobeyed in the land of Canaan, and their nation fell apart into two pieces, Israel and Judah. It's briefly united here and there, but and it all happened as a result of the excesses of Solomon. You know, disobeying God is one thing, but God makes a way for everything other than the first commandment. You'll see that in the book of Kings too. But no gods before me. You put a god before the Almighty, you will get his wrath. You know, you go out and do the other sins, he can make a way for some of those. He can make some punishments and make a way, but you put another god before him. And that's what they're doing. Excesses, and Solomon's excess led into the division of the nation. And we are here now in 2 Kings chapter 10. We've just got through the session with Jezebel, who had become the dominant force. Yes, Jezebel had become the dominant force in the northern kingdom. She was an avid worshiper of Baal, and the nation was in a downward spiral. So God has just dealt with her, and the dogs ate her flesh, just like the prophet Elisha had said. And we're into chapter 10 now, the book of 2 Kings. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. A busy fellow there, wouldn't he, Jonathan?
I'd say so.
And Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, now as soon as this letter cometh to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, there are with you chariots and horses, and a fenced city also, and armor, look even out the best and meetest of your master's son. Pick out the best sons that he has, and set him on his father's throne. Left it up to someone else. I remember God anointing the kings of Israel in the past.
Yeah.
How far have we gone? And fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid and said, behold, two kings stood not before him. How then shall we stand? Yeah, it's a good plan, but I don't see it happening. And he that was over the house, and he that was over the city, and the elders also, and the bringers up of the children, sent to Jehu, saying, we are thy servants, and we'll do all that thou shalt bid us. We will not make any king. Do thou that which is good in thine eyes. Remember the death sentence God had placed over his family, Ahab's family? Well, these guys, they said, the new king, we're not gonna go through with this. We're gonna go with you. You've been anointed. And he wrote a letter and second time to them, saying, if ye be mine, And if you will not hearken, you will hearken unto my voice. Take ye the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me to Jezreel by tomorrow. This time. Oh, that's horrible. He told them to cut all their heads off. Mm-hmm. Well, a minute ago, he was going to pick out the best one and make him king. You cannot mitigate God's judgments. Mm-hmm. People have free will. When it comes to things that God wants done, your free will may turn into doing exactly what God wants done. Come to me in Jezreel by tomorrow this time. Now the king's sons, being 70 persons, were with the great men of the city, which brought them up. And it came to pass, when the letter came to them, that they took the king's sons and slew 70 persons and put their heads in baskets and sent them to Jezreel. What a harsh time. Mm-hmm. You know what? This nation would straighten itself up if there were some heads in baskets. These people who think they can just subvert the American Constitution. The heads need to drop into some baskets and be sent through the mail to other people who are applicable. There came a messenger and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, lay ye them in two heaps at the entering in of the gate until morning. Why would he do that? He wants all the inhabitants of the land coming and going through the gate to see what happens to even king's sons when they follow after other gods. It came to pass in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, ye be righteous, behold, I conspired against my master and slew him, but who slew all these? Know now that there shall fall into the earth nothing of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spake concerning the house of Ahab, which he said, every man that pisseth against the wall shall be killed. For the Lord hath done that which he spake by his servant Elijah. So Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his kinfolks and his priests. Yes, even the holy man, little tabernacle down on the corner, minding his own business, in there polishing his brass cow, until he left him none remaining. And he arose and departed and came to Samaria, and as he was at the shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahijah, king of Judah, and said, who are ye? And they answered, we are the brethren of Ahijah. We go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen. And he said, take them alive. And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men. Neither left he any of them, wasn't taking any chances. When he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadad, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right? Is thine heart right? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it's all about the heart. Oh, that's just an organ that beats blood. I had a lady tell me that one time. The heart has to be right. The heart is just an organ that beats blood.
Mm. Your mind is so open.
Yes. And she was a devout Catholic.
Right.
But she's obviously never read the book.
Wow. Being devout, you would think that she would be, you know, sucked into the whole the Sacred Heart side of the Catholicism.
Yeah, but that's all stuff you do with your mind. The right. Heart just our organ that pumps blood. But, you know, the Bible says, I place the spirit of you in the heart.
Right.
Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? Jehonadad answered, it is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. When he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. Oh, that's terrible. He just went on a murder and rampage. No. He said, come and see my zeal for the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is what the Lord has told me to do. You know?
One person to wipe out all those people, that's yes. supernatural.
Exactly. Take your sword and go slay all of them that remain of Ahab. Ah, and God only told you to go down to the homeless shelter and speak peace to people. How easy do you have it, Christian?
There you go.
Or be generous to your those who don't have much. If he ever asks you to pick up a sword and do his work, I don't see that happening. Can't even do the little stuff. Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Ah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 18 again. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal.
Oh.
Setting them up, isn't he?
It took me a minute. I was sitting there going, yes. Hey, what?
Yeah. 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 What are you doing killing all Ahab's family? I just didn't like them. You know, but you know, I that God they serve, I really like him.
And, a whole lot.
Yes, a whole lot. And I mean, Ahab was really serving him a little bit. I'm going to really serve him a lot. In fact, let's have one of them Baal parties right now. Call all them fellers. Call all his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting. For I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Like maybe all of them?
Uh-huh.
All of them?
Uh-huh.
Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. So, if I find out one servant of Baal doesn't come to my party, you're done.
He's not a true worshiper of that guy.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And I'll go kill him right on the spot. Because
yeah.
We're having the ultimate Baal party, and everyone that worships Baal will come. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. All right. The drunken, naked orgy. Next Friday. Everybody come. And Jehu sent through all of Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came. But there was not a man left that came not. They came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshipers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. Let's put on all them fancy Baal worship outfits.
Get your robes on.
Yes, yes, get the robes on. Yeah, you can do your naked stuff later. We're going to put the robes on for right now. We got to look good for this God. Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, came into the house of Baal and said unto the worshipers of Baal, search and look that there here be none of the servants of the Lord. Make sure none of you are worshipers of the Almighty, Jehovah. We don't want your kind in here.
We gotta have the same pure.
Yes. Only Baal worshipers. Any of you got any inclination toward the one true God of Israel? Get out now. But the worshipers of Baal only shall we have. When they went in to offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without. He put 80 men outside and said, if any of the men whom I have brought into your hands escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be for the life of him. Wow. Any man comes out that door and gets past you, the one who got past shall die in his place. Came to pass as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering. And Jehu said to the guard and to the captains, go in and slay them. Let none come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and the guard and the captains cast them out, and went in and went to the city of the house of Baal. They brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burned them. They break them down, the images of Baal, and break them down, the house of Baal. Made it a draught house unto this day. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is attempting to get Baal out of America. tough battle because America is into its judgment period. America was a shining beacon on a hill that God placed apart from the rest of the world, the influence of Europe and Asia, so that a Judaic Christian nation could form and take the word of God through all the land. And we did that. And there's prophecy in this book. And you can catch that on Between the Lines, a time such as this, about how America has one task left. It's right there in black and white. Protect Israel in one of these upcoming major battles in the end times. And then God says, I will render judgment on you because you are a golden cup in my hand. And now you're a cup filled with abominations and the blood of martyrs.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.